98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We are not inside the Auction Community Studios. We'll tell you where we are in just a moment and how you can come out and see us, because we'd love to see you today. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on, my friend? What is a busy day today?
Oh,
busy day.
Yes, we got a lot going on. Yep, a lot of stuff to talk
this
about.
This will not be a dull show. There is a lot happening.
Surprising things to talk about today. Things that we were not expecting to talk about. And quite frankly, we're still kind of processing, to be honest with you. But let's tell the good folks where we are. We're on the west side of the valley. We're in Peoria today. We're at the Walmart Supercenter on Deer Valley Road and Lake Pleasant Parkway.
This is pretty cool.
We are here with our friends from Woodford Reserve Bourbon with the Kentucky Derby coming up. We've got bottle engraving today. Two different bottles of Woodford Reserve that you can get. The 1 liter bottle, which is just adorned with all sorts of cool Kentucky Derby stuff on it that you can get engraved for free with the purchase of a bottle. Or the gift set, which is a slightly smaller bottle of Woodford Reserve. You can also get that engraved. Of course, we always have to say, while supplies last, these tend to go very, very fast when we do these shows. But you come by and see us today, you buy a bottle of the Woodford Reserve,
and this is
you can get it engraved for free.
This is a high-class bourbon, right?
I mean, this is one of my best friends in the world. A couple of my best friends in the world swear by this stuff.
Yeah.
Swear by Woodford Reserve.
All right. So Woodford Reserve, they've got the Kentucky Derby special. This is on sale for $29.97. Now, the engraver's here. You get the bottle engraved. It's a beautiful bottle, too. It's big. It's the engraving is going to look amazing. This is such a popular sell. Now, we're at Lake Pleasant Parkway in Deer Valley Road. We're at the Walmart Supercenter. We've been here before. So it's a great location for those people out west, Peoria area, Walmart Supercenter, Lake Pleasant Parkway and Deer Valley Road. We're here till 6. Come get this gift set for $29.97. Get the bottle engraved. It's the Kentucky Derby gift set. You're going to love it. The bourbon is outstanding from what I hear. And Burnsy's got friends that swear by it. So come on by. Pick up a bottle. Get it engraved. I mean, you got graduations coming up in a couple of months. You've got the Derby coming up. Hey, listen, you don't even need a reason. Just get it engraved for yourself. Put it on your mantle at home. You're going to love getting a bottle of the Woodford Reserve. And the engraving is free.
Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
What is the story that we're still kind of processing? Gambo and I carpooled out here together for this one today.
This does not compute.
And we kicked it around for 20 minutes, and I'm no closer to really understanding it or trying to figure, and maybe it's just not something to be understood. It's just sort of there. But you were the first to report that Kyler Murray was not the only quarterback in this year's draft class to have a workout with the Arizona Cardinals.
He was not, and I was very surprised by this. Tried to read into it several different ways. Don't really know if I have an answer for how I was reading into it, but here is the reality. The Arizona Cardinals did have a visit from the Duke quarterback, Daniel Jones.
What?
Yes. Kyler Murray is not the only quarterback that came in for a visit. He is not the only one. The Duke quarterback, Daniel Jones, did come in for a visit. He completed 61% of his passes, 22 touchdowns, 9 picks, 2,600 yards. He's 6'5", 220 pounds, mobile. He could run, had a great career at Duke. Is going to be very likely a first-round pick. Now, we'll go over the scenarios as to why, but I can tell you that Daniel Jones did visit with the Arizona Cardinals. And the visit's already happened.
Okay.
It's not like he's
coming up, right.
It's already happened. I don't have a date for you. I don't know what date it was, but he did come here and visit with the Arizona Cardinals.
Completed 61% of his passes for Duke. He threw for over 2,600 yards, 22 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He's a big dude, 6'5". Todd McShay on April 3rd said when he looked at the quarterbacks in this draft, he has Locke out of Missouri ranked higher than Jones.
Listen, Daniel Jones, I don't see the same player that Kuiper does. Now, some guys in the league do. Some guys think that he's the second, third best quarterback in this class. With me, I think Drew Locke is right up there with the first two quarterbacks that we've been talking about. I think that's kind of what, as we get closer to the draft, that's going to be, I think, more news than people seem to believe at this point. I think Locke has a chance to be ahead of Haskins when it's all said and done and be that second quarterback off the board. So it just, different teams obviously always have different opinions, but I think it differs this year more than normal.
There's nothing else I'd like the Cardinals to take him just so we can get a little Counting Crows and you know, talk about
Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones and me staring at the video. When I look at the television, I want to see me looking right back at me. Yeah, I mean, it's just for nothing else. It's just the Counting Crows value alone.
What's the place they're at?
They're at the Barrio.
At the Barrio.
They're at the Barrio.
At the Barrio. Yeah, the Barrio. All right. So
staring at the beautiful women.
Yeah.
She's looking at you. Oh, no. She's looking at me. Yeah.
You think she's looking at you over me?
Well, that's what he sings at the song.
Telling his friend.
I'm doing the lyrics. Yeah,
he's telling his friend that she's looking at me.
She's looking at me. Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Couple things. Let's go over this Daniel Jones thing because we're going to kick this around. Why would they bring in another quarterback? Why? I mean, could they draft another quarterback besides Kyler Murray? It doesn't seem possible, right?
No.
It doesn't. First thing to cross my mind. Make a trade with the Raiders. Raiders get Kyler Murray. You get their 3 first round draft picks, and you have your pick at 33. You've now got 4 picks in the top 33. Maybe you take a flyer on Jones with one of those last 2 picks, the 33rd pick or the 27th pick. You draft Daniel Jones. You got him rated really high. You like him. You draft him. You go the Bill Belichick route. I'm going to keep him with Rosen, and I'm going to trade him in a year or two. I'm going to develop him for a year or two, and then he's going to be my Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm going to trade him, and I'm going to get something good for him.
Unless
get
I like
value.
Him better than Rosen, and then when Rosen's contract runs out, I still have a guy on a rookie contract.
So that's my first thought. If they did make a trade with the Raiders and got 3 first-round picks from the Raiders, now you have 4 picks in the top 33, you could take a flyer on a kid that you may have rated 15th on your board and get him at 27 to 33, hold on to him, and go the Belichick route where he trades his quarterbacks. I mean, you know, it's an asset. It's a good player, and you might look a year or two down the road. Maybe he plays in some preseason games. He does well. He fills in. He does well. And then you could trade him, and you could get better value. That was the first thing that crossed my mind.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's impossible because at this point I think we're all so turned around about what the Cardinals are going to do draft-wise. I don't know what is possible. It seems to me, though, that the moment you're not taking Kyler Murray, you are saying, Josh Rosen, you're our guy.
You're my guy.
You're my guy. And if I'm going to collect extra assets for trading out of the number one spot, it seems to me you're better suited with so many other positions that you're so deficient at. Offensive line, wide receiver.
Check. You could do all
right,
of that.
Right. Well, you'd rather do those things than take a – because by taking a quarterback – if you take a quarterback in the first round of this draft and his name is not Kyler Murray, you are passing judgment on Josh Rosen by saying, we don't think you're good enough. Now, you can spin it as exactly how you – no. We think Josh is great. We think it's good to have an asset. He might be valuable a couple years from now. But it will be perceived by some, by many, by taking a quarterback and putting him on the same roster, you're in essence saying, Josh Rosen, you're not good enough to be our quarterback, and we're going to cover our backsides just in case.
You take him at 33?
Yeah,
27?
I think people will perceive that way. You don't think so?
Maybe,
you don't think people will perceive it that way?
I think Murray, yes. I don't know. I've never. I mean, this is so new. This whole, you know, the thought that they could even they had a visit with another quarterback not named Kyler Murray. I'm trying to process a lot of information right now and figure out why. Now, possible that you just, hey, got 30 visits, just do our homework on this guy. Maybe you want a comparison.
Sure.
Hey, we brought Murray in. We put Murray up on the board. We put Murray in the film. Let's get a comparison.
Let's see what else is out there.
Let's get another quarterback that we know is groomed the right way by a great coach.
Sure.
And let's just use – now we got a comparison. I got two.
Sure. You know what? I'm pretty sure I'm going to buy an Apple MacBook Pro, but just in case – I'll go compare shop with the Dells.
Deal.
I'll go compare shop with the HPs. I'll go compare shop with the Chromebooks. Just to see. I'm pretty sure that's what I'm going to get. But just to be sure, let me go check and see if there's something better out there at a different price
comparison
point.
With two quarterbacks, one who you know is a very bright quarterback, was trained by one of the best in Cutcliffe. I mean, it could be a comparison thing. Look, I got Murray. I want to compare him not to Rosen, but I want to compare him to somebody else that's in the same draft class.
Or when Daniel Jones is a free agent 4 or 5 years from now, you could be doing
angle.
Your homework to make
right.
sure you like him in case you have a chance to go get him. Or
they just want to screw with us.
Exactamundo.
They just want to screw with us.
Exactamundo.
So why didn't
they
did it not get out when he came here?
I don't know, but it doesn't matter. It's out now. It's out now, and we still have 13 days to go before the draft. Plenty of time for that information to be out there in the ether where people are talking about it. It doesn't matter.
Does it not like boggle your mind right now? They brought in Daniel Jones. They have 30 visits. They brought on a quarterback that's not named Kyler Murray.
Look, in situations like this, I tend to go with what is the simplest explanation. What's that old line?
Nothing about this draft is simple.
No, I know. Nothing. But when talking about Daniel Jones, what is it, Occam's razor, the principle that the simplest explanation tends to be the truest? What is the simplest explanation here? I think the simplest explanation is that the Arizona Cardinals want to pump out as much conflicting, confusing, baffling information into the marketplace as possible so people like you and me and Kuiper and McShay and everybody else
heads explode.
Don't know what they're going to do. Man, we don't know. What are they going to do? What's their plan? What's their Wolfley call it? Subterfuge? Draft subterfuge? I think the
never heard of that word before until he started using it.
Well, he's been using it for 10 years, so I would think he would have caught on by now. I think this is subterfuge. I think that's the simplest explanation. I think all those other ideas are possible. They're all ideas worth thinking about. But at the end of the day, the simplest explanation, I think the Cardinals are just trying to screw with people at this point and create as much chaos and confusion around that pick as
possible. I think, honest, my guess would be there's a possibility that you could trade with the Raiders and get four picks in the top 33. And at that point, what the hell? If you got him rated 15th on your board and you can get him at 27, value. Trade him down the road, maybe you trade him for a top 10 pick or 15th pick. It's just value.
We here on the Burns and Gambo show have the honor of giving one last listener the last opportunity to qualify for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate
Draft Flyway
Experience.
They were like 4 for 4 going into today.
That's very upsetting because we're 1 for 4 so far today, trying to get our average above or at 400. Text Clock to 620-620. There's still a chance for you to qualify. Listen today at 4:45 for your chance to experience the NFL draft in person. Text Clock to 620-620. Be listening today at 4:45 for the last name that will be read off. It is the ultimate draft flyaway experience. It's presented by Cherish. Cherish 100% all-natural cherry juice. It's been a part of this game for years. But last night, Archie Bradley's pitch selection got the best of him. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. An old adage in baseball, no matter how great your fastball is, if you keep throwing it, eventually they're going to figure out how to hit it. I think the phrase that Torrey Lovello likes to use is that these guys are so good, big league hitters are so good, they can get wood on a bullet. No matter how fast you fire it, you can get wood on a bullet. And that might have bit Archie Bradley last night in that game against the San Diego Padres.
Right in the ass.
They wind up in the 0-1 pitch. And a towering drive to left, and that's going to go. Margot, a home run on an 0-1 pitch. And the Padres get the lead back 7-6, his first of the year.
Manuel Margot, the go-ahead home run in the eighth inning off of Archie Bradley. The second straight night he has surrendered a home run. 10 straight fastballs. Now,
can I tell you what sucks about it?
Sure.
Struck out Machado on 3 pitches.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's my fastball, hit it. Machado couldn't hit it. 3 pitches, struck him out. Renfroe comes up. Here's my fastball, try and hit it. Can't hit it. Strikes him out. Gets the first pitch to Margot's a fastball. Strike one. This is what sucks for Archie, and this is why there's a part of me that's upset, and there's a part of me that just feels bad. He literally blew Machado and Renfroe away with his fastball.
Yes.
I'm going to throw the fastball. Machado, 3 pitches. Boom, boom, boom. You're out. Renfroe struck out. Amargo's 0-1. Next pitch he sees, he hits it into the stands for a home run. And you're like, so the thought is, man, Archie got beat by his fastball, threw 11 fastballs in a row, and he got beat because all he throws is his fastball. Yeah. But damn, that fastball was really, really good up until Margot hit the ball. But results are what matter. And Archie's now given up 2 home runs in a row, 2 games in a row. But damn, watching, because I was there last night, I know you were too, watching him just blow these guys away with the fastball, it was like, what else do you want him to throw? Like, I mean, they can't hit it.
They couldn't
hit
it.
They couldn't hit it.
Yeah. Last night, Troy Lovello, after the game, talked about Archie's pitch selection and how it might have hurt him a bit.
I think, you know, maybe pitch selection. Obviously, he threw, what, 10 or 11 straight fastballs. He had that thing going pretty good at the top of the zone, and it came as a total surprise to me. Not that Manuel Margot does not have good power, but I thought I've seen Archie get moving in a really positive direction, and I thought it was gonna be a good inning for him. But he got clipped. He made a mistake up out over the plate, and you know, you make a mistake, to good hitters are gonna take advantage of it.
Now afterwards, Archie Bradley told reporters, "I knew the nanosecond that ball came out of my hand that it was not going to go where I wanted it to go. I knew it. There was nothing wrong with the type of pitch I was throwing. It was all location. I threw it in a bad spot. And the second it left my hand, I knew it was going to end up in a bad spot. I knew it was going to go where I did not want it to go."
And it did. It got hit out of the ballpark. And that was it. The sad part is you always want the shutdown inning, right? The Diamondbacks are down 6-1. They rally. Peralta gets a 2-run single. Escobar hits a 3-run homer. And all of a sudden, a 6-1 baseball game that looked like it was out of hand is now 6-6. You got a chance to win it. And then, so you score the 5 runs in the 7th. And then in the top of the 8th, Archie comes in and gives up the home run. You lose 7-6. So that sucks. Now, there are going to be people out there. Archie's got to get a second pitch. Archie's got to get a third pitch. Archie, and I understand. I mean, I do understand. Archie has a great fastball. He has a great fastball. And there are a lot of people, and they're not wrong. They're not wrong that he needs a secondary pitch. He needs to be able to throw something else. And, you know, the only thing I would combat that with, man, it just didn't look like if he strikes out Machado on 3 pitches, mm-hmm. and then he strikes out Renfro, and then he throws Margot a changeup and he hits it out of the ballpark, everybody's going to be saying, man, they couldn't hit your fastball. Why didn't you throw your fastball?
Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back about 2 months to spring training. Same day, February 13th, day before Valentine's Day. Troy Lovello, Archie has learned he needs more than just one pitch.
Zach Godley was pretty good, you know, blew up quickly on him there in the
That is the wrong cut. I apologize for that. I'm going to look for the right one here. Give me just a second. I'm sorry. It's
Valentine's Day. Archie needs more than a fastball.
Here it is right here.
I think he learned a lot through the course of last year that, you know, to get by on blood and guts and one pitch, it's okay. He can do it. But I know Archie has this burning desire to be great. And that motivates him every single day. And I think he's going to stay ahead of situations like this, like that from last year. He'll do that this year to be as great as he possibly can be.
Do you remember, I wonder if you do, what Archie said that same day about the curveball?
The fingernail.
Yep. Hold on. Listen to this.
The fingernail.
Boy, this nail is solid. I'm throwing some hammers this year.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to have one of the best curveballs in the big league this year.
Again?
Yeah. It's nasty. It is. Nail's healthy, no crack. Been able to throw it all off season. And, I mean, you can hear in the tone of my voice, I'm really excited to get out there and throw some good curveballs this year.
Wasn't last night. He wasn't too excited to throw him last night. But you make a real good point.
I don't know if I would have thrown the curveball the way the fastball was working either. I'd love to rail on Archie. He's given up 2 homers in a row. And, man, if my fastball struck out Machado on 3 pitches and then struck out Renfro, I don't know that I would throw the curveball. Like, you know what? My fastball is electric tonight. It's electric. And then Renfro and Margot hits the home run. It's like, damn if you do, damn if you
don't.
Yeah,
and I don't – look, it's early in the season, so I – and Archie's one of the most important players on the Diamondbacks roster. Rather than pitch selection, I'm going to go zoom out a little bit on Archie
okay.
and just kind of look at the last 2 nights in general and hope that everything's going to be okay with Archie Bradley this year, because last year did not finish very well for Archie. It was, and we thought that was just a blip on the radar screen, that did not have anything to do with who Archie Bradley was and what he was going to be to this team. We don't nearly have enough proof to be able to say, uh-oh, trouble time for Archie Bradley. He's given up 2 home runs in 2 days, but it is something I think worth watching, right? Something he is one of the most important guys on that roster in terms of their success.
If he fails, and there's a lot of people right now, and there are a lot of people right now that are iffy on Archie. They're iffy. You know, it's not like there are people that still believe in him and love him. And there are other people out there just, I don't trust the guy. There are. I mean, I was walking out of the ballpark last night, and I was, you know, and there's this group of fans that always waits for autograph, and I was talking with them, and they were all saying that same thing, like, you know, just not sure that I trust Archie. I just not. So based on what happened last year and what's happened in the last 2 games, there are a faction of people that don't trust Archie Bradley. They just don't trust him. He's got to earn that trust back. I think you give him every opportunity. He just got beat 2 nights in a row. Sucks for him, but, yeah, I mean, for him to be, you know, for him to be a lockdown part of this, you know, of this bullpen, he's got to do better than he's done the last 2 days.
Speaking of trust issues, Zach Godley has an ERA over 7 so far on the season, 7.41 after an outing that got sideways on him last night with that Austin Hedges.
That's Lovello's fault. It's Lovello's fault. He should have taken him out. You could tell in the 6th inning he didn't have it. Walked Myers. Terrible pitch. Nothing was close to the plate. Nothing. Everything was high and out. It was terrible. Terrible pitch. Then Hosmer gets behind him 2-0, gives him a meatball single. Then Machado gets an RBI single. At that point, man, you got 3 batters in a row. Walk, single, single. You're down 2-1. Get somebody up. Just get somebody up. And he didn't. And then all of a sudden, you know, Tatis hits a sack fly. Hedges hits a 3-run homer. You're down 6-1. I think Torrey was trying to get him through the inning. And I think Torrey made a mistake. And I think he should have had somebody up and ready. And and Tatis probably too. I mean, now, there was a ball that was kind of bobbled a little bit. Could have been a force out. But even still, the first 3 batters of that inning were a sign that that wasn't going to be Godley's inning. He did not look good. I think they should have had somebody ready to come in.
There are plenty more rumors out there today and teams potentially interested in Josh Rosen. Who are they? And more importantly, what are they willing to give? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
With the Phoenix Suns losing the tiebreaker today to the Cleveland Cavaliers, will the Suns pick A, 4th, B, 5th, C, 6th, D, 7th? Is that the question today, Sarah?
That is not, but it is not the question. A Suns draft question.
Look, as a forever Suns fan, I'm just going to have to assume it's one of those four, right?
I know. You're going to get greedy? You want one again?
They're never going to get one again.
I'll take two.
It's almost like the league said, we gave you a gift. His name is DeAndre Ayton. Now you're going to go back to being terrible at this lottery thing again.
I'll take second. Give me the second pick.
I'll take the second. They're not getting the second pick.
So this poll question actually pertains to, hey, if they don't get the number 1 or number 2 pick, because, it's Zion and then it's Ja, what should the Suns do? So if they don't get number 1 or number 2, what should the Suns do with their pick? 63% say trade that pick, whatever they get, for a veteran player. 27% say just draft with whatever pick you land, and 10% say trade back.
I would trade it, but that is so much easier said than it is done.
Yeah.
It is.
So much easier said than done. I mean, because you're just assuming that everyone's going to be lining up for a pick that you don't want. Well, if you don't want it, chances are other teams don't want it either. They're not going to see the value in it.
You want to know the sad part? If it's not 1 or 2, you're likely going to end up with a wing player.
Woo!
Yeah.
The Suns could use more of those, right?
Oh, yeah. You know what? I mean, seriously.
We don't have enough of that.
Seriously, it's the Suns' collection of wings is like when I go out to Buffalo Wild Wings,
exactly.
Like my collection of wings. Hey, just keep them coming. Let's go. No, I'm not done. You kidding me? I want more wings. More wings.
A dozen wings, please.
Yeah. I hope not that many. That's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. Yes, in case you didn't hear Sarah's update just a second ago, the Phoenix Suns lost the tiebreaker today to the Cleveland Cavaliers. We'll talk about Josh Rosen in 60 seconds, I swear. But because they lost the tiebreaker, technically it's the Cavs with the second most ping pong balls and the Suns with the third most ping pong balls. It does not at all affect the odds picking 1st, 2nd, 3rd, or 4th. They're exactly the same.
Yep.
Where it varies is in 4, or in 5, I should say, in 6, and now being 3rd, the Suns, there's a 7% chance they could drop all the way to 7th now. By finishing 3rd in this, there's a 7% chance they go all the way down to number 7.
You'll end up crying.
If they pick seventh,
yes,
I will probably weep.
We'll have to console you.
You and I, have we ever hugged before? Have we ever done a bro hug? Have we ever hugged it out, you and me?
I don't know if we've ever hugged
I don't think
it
we've
out.
Ever actually hugged.
I don't know if we have.
You might need to hold me. That night.
I could now. You're skinny.
Hold me, Gamba.
Well, no, you
can wrap your arms around me now.
People can wrap their arms around you now. Yeah, you're huggable. You are now huggable.
Hold me, Gamba.
You guys should take a quick break in the show.
We should what?
You should take a quick break in the show just to hug it out. Just see what it feels like.
30-10 has done miracles for him. Now he's a huggable person. You couldn't get your arms around him before. Yeah, now he's huggable.
It's true. Sarah, we'll take that suggestion under advisement.
Okay.
I don't know if today we're ready to break that new ground yet or not. Okay. I'm not quite sure we're ready to go there. Josh Rosen and the rumors taking yet another interesting turn. Here is Sean Merriman, former Chargers great.
Don't pay the Merriman until he gets you to the other side.
Don't do it. Fox Sports Radio. Sean Merriman said he reached out to Josh Rosen on Twitter.
And most of the guys or most of the fans know that they call me the recruiter. Right? Because, if there's a guy that's on the market, and of course I want him to come to my squad. I want him to come to the team that I play for. Obviously, I'm here. I still support the team. And I like to be a part of a winning organization still. So I just reached out to him and on Twitter, and I said, "Hey, Josh, how you doing? How's your day?" You know, kind of just a quick shot.
Innocuous, nothing big. Sure.
Just nothing big. What's up, bro? How you doing? How's your day? And he responded, man, everything is good. You know, he responded a couple times, and people started to really look into it.
So is Sean Merriman playing the role of like a greeter here at the Walmart that we're at? He says that the Chargers have what he claims is real interest in Rosen.
We all know that there's two or three teams that he can possibly go to. You just mentioned them. The Chargers could be seriously, and from what I'm hearing, it's a big possibility that he could end up there. He could be coming in.
All right. The Chargers, and we're going to try really hard. We're going to endeavor to call them the LA Chargers and not the San Diego Chargers because that's a trap you and I both fall into. The LA Chargers, if you're curious, and I know I am, have the 28th overall pick, the 60th overall pick, the 91st overall pick. What makes them interesting is that they just gave Tyrod Taylor, a two-year, $6 million deal? That doesn't stop them from trading Josh Rosen, for Josh Rosen, if they don't think that Tyrod Taylor is anything but a Band-Aid as a backup for Phillip Rivers.
Tyrod Taylor will not prevent you from – he's not Phillip Rivers' replacement. He's a backup right now in case Rivers gets hurt, that you have a guy that's – the Cardinals had interest in Tyrod Taylor. They had interest in two backup quarterbacks. I reported that before they signed Hundley. It was Hundley and Tyrod Taylor. Those were the two guys they were interested in. They ended up going with Hundley. Tyrod Taylor's there to be a backup quarterback. That's what he is now. He's a backup quarterback. Finding a replacement for a 37-year-old Phillip Rivers would make sense that Josh Rosen. The only thing that – the caveat that I keep saying with this is, I mean, I don't think Rivers only plays one more year. So if you do have Rivers for 2 years – Rosen doesn't make a lot of money, but he's not going to play. Like, he's not going to play for 2 years. And then by the time you get to he'll be playing in his fourth year in the NFL if Rivers retires in 2 years.
Yeah, but at least you've got him, and he's not going to cost you hardly anything to have him, and you can develop him so when that day comes and Rivers is ready to be done, you've got him to plug and play. Yeah, you don't get the financial benefit of having a quarterback on that rookie contract and being able to spend on other positions, but you can at least feel like you've got your next quarterback locked and loaded. More Sean Merriman believes that Josh Rosen needs to prepare himself for a trade. Come on.
If I was Josh Rosen, I got to get ready because the team, meaning the Cardinals, they haven't stepped up to the plate and kind of shut down the rumors. You know, the draft is almost here, and if that's your guy, your franchise quarterback going forward, why don't you just kill the rumors right away and say, hey, this is our guy, we're not interested.
But why would I do that if I'm the Cardinals? There's no reason for me to do that right now with the Cardinals.
That's so dumb. I mean, that is just so dumb. I mean, to do that. Yeah, that's not this is a business. No, we're only, you want to keep all options open.
Yes.
You want to evaluate Kyler Murray for as long as you can before you determine. And if you do determine, hey, you know what, we're sticking with Josh Rosen, well, you want to use every moment and every minute you can to evaluate Murray to make sure that that Rosen's the right guy.
If you've decided you're going to keep Rosen, if you come out and say Rosen's our guy, then no one can believe that you're faking your interest in Kyler Murray. I mean, if you're still trying to trade the number one pick, sorry for Josh Rosen. But
well, then it's for sale, though. But if you did say that, then it's literally for sale. We're not taking Murray, so if somebody wants to take him, it's for sale. You put the for sale sign up and you go.
You could, but if you say you're not taking Murray, now a team could look to trade with the Niners at 2. I don't need to go to number 1. They're not taking Kyler Murray. They're going to take Nick Bosa. No, I'm not going to. I don't need to buy it from the Cardinals. I need to buy it from San Francisco, right? I need to buy it from the Jets, depending on what San Francisco does. Your ability to trade the number 1 pick the minute you come out and say, Rosen is our guy, we love him, we stand by him, we ain't taking Kyler Murray, your trademark at number 1, it's gone, it doesn't exist. San Francisco has all the leverage in that circumstance. If you say you're not taking Kyler Murray, and if you're going to take Nick Bosa, now any team that wants Murray knows that they're the team to deal with, not you. You don't want that to happen, especially if Oakland's going to come along and make you a sweetheart deal, right?
Value points are less at 2 than they are at 1.
So I understand what Merriman's saying, but it doesn't have any practical application to how the draft works. It doesn't. In a perfect world, the Cardinals come out and say, Josh Rosen's our guy, we believe in him. But right now, 13 days before the draft, you have to maintain the illusion. You have to just... In the interest of trading that pick, if that's what you're going to do, you have to maintain that illusion for as long as you possibly can.
The teams that are interested in Rosen, and I think there's at least 6 of them that are interested, it's just a level of interest that is very difficult to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you interested for a 3rd-round pick? Are you interested for a 2nd-round pick? Is anybody interested for a 1st-round pick? To me, it's all about the level of interest. I believe there's a lot of teams that are interested, but it's the level of interest that is very difficult to figure out, because some teams might be interested but not willing to give up a 1st-round pick.
Come by and see us today. We are live on the road. We are at Walmart on Lake Pleasant Parkway and Deer Valley Road. So we're in Peoria today. Again, Deer Valley Road, Lake Pleasant Parkway, the Walmart Supercenter. We are here with our friends from Woodford Reserve. The engraver is set up and we are good to go. Buy a bottle of Woodford Reserve bourbon just in time for the Kentucky Derby, and you can get it engraved for free while supplies last. We've got terrific deals on the bottles of Woodford Reserve. You have to be here in person. You have to come by, buy a bottle, and we will engrave it for free. Great gift for Father's Day, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for graduation, whatever the case may be. Again, the Walmart Supercenter, Lake Pleasant Parkway, and Deer Valley Road. Come get your bottle engraved for free with a purchase. They're the wild card team in the first round of the NFL draft. Everyone trying to figure out exactly what the Raiders are thinking. That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, so 2 hours from right now, we are going to be reading off the final name as part of our Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. If you can believe it, you still have an opportunity to be a part of it.
Still?
Yes, still. Text CLOCK to 620-620. You can still get your name in there. It can still be the name that we read at 445, but that is going to be the last name that is read.
That's it.
That's going to be the last qualifier for the trip to Nashville to see the Cardinals with the number one pick.
Got to be in it to win it.
You know what? Truer words have never been spoken, my friend. You have got to be in it to win it. And how can you get in it if you don't text the word CLOCK to 620-620? So last chance, load them up. Let's see if your name is the one that we read at 445 today. As I mentioned, we're here at Walmart, Deer Valley Road, Lake Pleasant Parkway, with Woodford Reserve, the bourbon company, the great bourbon company. And they're doing bottle engraving here for free. If you buy a bottle, you will get it engraved for free today.
Yes, and we've got a couple people in line right now, and it is great. $29.77 for the Kentucky Derby package. It's a gift set. It's beautiful. You come get the bottle engraved. You get the gift set for $29.77. Deer Valley Road, Lake Pleasant Parkway, Walmart. Come see us. Pick up a bottle.
The Oakland Raiders are
one of the most intriguing teams going into the draft. Certainly if you're a Cardinals fan because you're trying to figure out if their love for Kyler Murray is real, if they're and what they're prepared exactly to do for that love. I think wait, what did I read today? I'm going to have to go find it in my notes. I think they're only like the third or fourth team since 2001 to have three first-round draft picks. So they're in a very unique position when it comes to this draft.
Khalil Mack, all those trades worked out for them, right?
Yeah, oh, it did. Yeah, here it is right here. I'm sorry. The fourth team in the last 30 years and the first since 2001 to enter draft day with three first-rounders.
Wow.
They are positioned to do something. The question is, what is that something going to be? Trade up to one, stay put, trade down. Trade, you know, four could be a very attractive slot, potentially, depending on if teams want to trade up into that.
If you're in the boat that the Cardinals are going to trade the number one overall pick for a boatload from some team, what is the team? Who is the team? Who's moving up to number one? Is it Washington? Is it Denver? Is it Miami? Is it the Raiders? Who is the team that's going to move up to number one that wants Kyler Murray, you know, and they have to have him?
Well, teams that need quarterbacks, so you just start. And I'm not saying all of these are likely or even will happen, but that's where you start with, right? So you start with the Giants. You start with Washington. You start with Oakland. I suppose you could throw Denver in there if you wanted to. You know, with the Chargers, come all the way up to one to get Kyler Murray? Probably not. But that's probably your pool. And of course, of all those teams, the Raiders are the most interesting because they obviously have the most inventory to be able to make that deal. The Giants have a lot of inventory, too, now.
Yes.
At 6-17.
With the Odell Beckham Jr. trade.
They're in a real good spot as well if they wanted to make a trade. But the thing that's fueling their speculation is their reported love for Kyler Murray, is Gruden's reported love for Kyler Murray. Although Ray Ratto, forever columnist in the Bay Area, was on Bickley and Murata yesterday. He's not buying the Gruden heart Murray story for a second.
I think the Raiders are not absolutely in love with Kyler Murray because the more John Gruden says he loves a guy, the less he actually loves him.
Ray Ratto is a skeptical fellow when it comes to John Gruden and his love.
It's been his MO since he got back, and as I recall from his first time in Oakland, he always said nice things about Al Davis, even though he and Al Davis basically crossed shields and swords every day. He said nice things about Amari Cooper right before he traded him. He said they wanted to build the team around Khalil Mack right before they got rid of him. John Gruden plays his hand so you can see all the face cards, but he plays them backwards. And so when he says something good about somebody, that guy's gone. And he's been doing nothing but raving about Kyler Murray. So I suspect that he's not really interested in him. And, you know, I would hope that basically they can take Nick Bosa.
Then there's this quote. Well, you're not getting Nick Bosa at four. Sorry, no. Oakland. That if you want to move up to one to get Nick Bosa, fine, knock yourself out. But you're not getting Nick Bosa at number four. This quote from Mike Mayock, their general manager, quote, Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback, and we believe that. Beyond that, just like at any other position, we're going to do our due diligence. If we found somebody we liked better or thought had a bigger upside, you've got to do the right thing for the organization. Close quote.
The thing with Murray that I'm having that I have a hard time with is I think there's a lot of quarterbacks out there that teams get stuck with, and we've talked about this with Stafford and Tannehill, and I think Carr could be in that group, and Jay Cutler for a year, Andy Dalton with Cincinnati. Sometimes, man, you gotta roll the dice, you gotta go for it. And if you're stuck with a quarterback that is not taking you anywhere, win just some games, you win six or seven or eight, maybe one year you win nine, you're not winning anything in the playoffs, and you're not winning the division, and like after a while, like do you stick with that guy in hopes that after 15 years he may give you one great season, or do you move on from him after five, 6 or 7 years? And that could be like, in Detroit, you think they want Stafford? In Miami, did they want Tannehill? You think in Cincinnati right now they want Dalton? Like, are the Raiders looking at Derek Carr and like, yeah, he's okay. Not going to win anything with him.
Right. No, that to me is the biggest of all the speculation that drives Oakland and the question there, that to me is the biggest driver of that speculation, is to look at Derek Carr. Hey, he's good, but are you absolutely convinced, if you're a fan of the Raiders, that he is the quarterback to lead you into championships, to lead you into playoff appearances, or is he just a guy? And I guess
if he's just a guy, I'd rather get rid of him.
Yep.
If he's just a guy.
Yep.
Right, there's 10 really good quarterbacks in the league. There's 10 average quarterbacks that you're going to win 6, 7, 8, 9, and there's 10 quarterbacks who suck.
Mm-hmm.
Right, isn't that kind of the way it works out?
Kind of.
Break it down into thirds.
Yeah.
10 quarterbacks are really good. You can win Super Bowls with them. 10 quarterbacks are average. You're going to win games. You might make the playoffs with them, but you're probably not going to win. And then 10 are just, yeah, you want to get rid of that guy.
I have found from the people I've talked to that the people, the fans who believe that Oakland wouldn't trade for Kyler Murray are the same ones who believe that Derek Carr is a very good quarterback in this league. And the ones who believe that Oakland should get Kyler Murray believe just the opposite, that Derek Carr is just a guy. That he's just a guy who's has good flashes, bad flashes. He's Stafford, he's Tannehill, he's Dalton, all the names that you just mentioned. And I guess all that matters is what John Gruden believes. Because I got to believe if John Gruden looks at Derek Carr and says, look, you can show me all the stats in the world, I think he's just a guy. I think he's just a guy, and I think our offense could be dynamic with somebody else, then Oakland could go get Kyler Murray. Does Gruden look at him like franchise quarterback type material or just a guy type material?
Well, you just said the magic word, dynamic. All these other quarterbacks, you're like, okay, you can win with this guy. He's good. He's got good size. He's got good arm strength. There's something about Kyler Murray. It's the dynamic part of it.
Yes.
It's like you might revolutionize the position. You might be able to do things that nobody else can do because this kid is the most athletic player that maybe he's ever played the quarterback position ever. Ever.
James Jones, now the permanent general manager for the Phoenix Suns. Is he ready for this gig? We're going to ask somebody who knows Jones very well. Former teammate Channing Frye, former member of the Suns, joins us next on the Burns and Gambo Show.